Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's right. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You can watch us on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter. Follow us on the Chasing Checkers channels at Chase_Checkers on Twitter, Chasing Checkers Radio on all the rest. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning. Chase McCabe hanging out with you, fresh off my trip to Dover Downs. It was awesome to be up there last weekend. I want to thank everybody involved with Dover Motorsports for having me. And a lot of cool things on the horizon as they get ready for race weekend in a month. It's hard to believe it's a month away at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Ally 400 weekend. And they actually announced yesterday on Friday that race, the Ally 400, is officially sold out. And it will be 100% capacity at the Nashville Super Speedway for that event. But the Ally 400, the cup race, the first cup race since 1984 in our market, is sold out. And that is fantastic news that they were able to announce that. Now their focus is on trying to get even more tickets sold for Saturday for the Xfinity race for the Tennessee Lottery 250, and then the truck race Friday night, the Rackley Roofing 200. So congratulations to everybody with them. And, you know, Ryan McGee, who is a member of ESPN and the SEC Network, comes on Darren Donick and Chase quite a bit, comes on our morning show as well on 102.5 The Game. A ticket is a vote, and he's absolutely right. And the fact that you've sold out this race is huge news. So keep it going, and we'll see what happens for the future. But it was a fun weekend at Dover, that is for sure. And how about Alex Bowman? How about him? Well, let's pump the brakes. How about Hendrick Motorsports? 1, 2, 3, 4. That was the finish, and Alex Bowman is the one that gets the win. Now, we'll talk about Kyle Larson because, once again, Kyle Larson dominates the race, leads 263 laps. There were only 400. Bowman leads 98. Byron led 21, so Hendrick Motorsports leading basically all the laps. But Larson doesn't get the win. It was a great pit stop there at the end for Alex Bowman, and he was able to keep the lead and or take the lead and, you know, that was huge. We're actually going to talk to Alex Bowman a little bit later. He joined us on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, and so you'll hear that conversation coming up at the bottom of the hour. But it was Bowman getting it done, and Rick Hendrick, as we said, his team finishes 1 through 4. Mr. H, Rick Hendrick, talked about that after the race.
You know, every time you enter a race, you'd like to see them run 1, 2, 3, 4, but you know, the feeling is unbelievable. It was probably the longest last 100 laps that I've ever seen in a race, just because I kind of wanted to see it so bad. We're so close, and to be able to pull that off, that's kind of one of those things in racing that you would say was on your bucket list. So I'm extremely happy and proud of all the guys, and it was a great day for the organization.
It was. And I'll give you a glimpse of kind of where I was. I was standing where the media center was, walk out. I'm right at the 48 pit. And so I went up top so I could see the whole racetrack. And I was standing basically right behind Mr. Hendrick. And then when I walked down to go for Victory Lane, I was standing at the fence right behind Mr. H. And he was excited because he knew what it meant. There are a lot of milestones that were hit with that, not only for his team, but for Bowman. You know, Bowman getting his second win of the year, which was big. But, you know, for Hendrick, 267 wins. I mean, they are so dominant, about to become the winningest team in NASCAR. All he has to do is pass Richard Petty, which I feel like
that's any record in this sport. But you could tell how excited he was. And, you know, the owners haven't really gotten to go to the races all that much because of COVID and everything going on. And, you know, for Rick to be there and witness it, I know meant a lot to him, but also his team. When you talk about Hendrick Motorsports being 1-4, I think, you know, I know for sure last year, but, you know, for so many years, you would say, yeah, well, that 1-4, number one has got to be Jeff Gordon. It's got to be Jimmy Johnson. It's got to be Chase Elliott. I think now, more than ever, and Chase Elliott's got the championship. Kyle Larson's been leading a lot of laps. Byron continues to grow. And then Alex Bowman continues to grow. But I feel like more than ever, they're equal. As close to equal as you possibly can get. Again, Elliott's got the championship, so he can hold that over everybody's head. But Elliott hadn't won this year. The rest of them have. Larson's got to win. Byron's got to win. Bowman's now got two. Elliott has run well, but doesn't have that win yet. So in this instance, you know, Bowman was asked at the end of the race about, you know, being a train, and instead of being the caboose, which he has been, you know, at times. You know, when he first got a full-time gig with Hendrick Motorsports, I don't know that many people really thought, okay, well, he'll do okay there. I don't think people thought that. I think people were skeptical. But Dale Jr. saw something in him. Rick Hendrick saw something in him. And now he has gone from the caboose to leading the pack. Alex Bowman on asked about being that locomotive or engine in that train.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, I feel like we've been off for a couple of weeks, but we're still the same race team that won in Richmond. And we've been probably a little down on ourselves. So just try to get the guys back motivated after a rough week last week in Darlington. And, you know, our pit stops were incredible today, but to run 1-4 for HMS, so cool. I don't know when the last time that happened was, but it's been a long time, and really, really cool to see it.
Bowman only has this year 5 top tens, 3 top fives, but he has the 2 wins in 13 races. And I think you're seeing that team's confidence. And yeah, they're going to have bad runs. That's happened. But Chase Elliott's had that. He's had some struggles this year. But the fact that they're winning races, they may not run great every week, but the fact that they're winning races does a ton for the confidence of the driver and the race team and the crew chief, Greg Ives. Greg Ives has done a tremendous job leading this team, you know, taking over the 88 when Steve Letart stepped down and went to the TV booth, you know, being there at the end of Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s career, which was marred with injury, taking a young driver in Alex Bowman. Oh, by the way, having the fill-ins of Bowman and Jeff Gordon, having to work with them, but then taking Alex Bowman, him taking over, transitioning from the 88 to the 48 this year, following Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, their success with that car number. That's a lot. Greg Ives has managed it well, done a really good job. Alex Bowman has managed it well. So many people may not realize Bowman he's on a 1-year contract. He's basically gotten a 1-year extension the last few years. So Rick Hendrick, of course, was asked, you know, what is the status of Alex Bowman's contract and when does he hope to get that done?
Yeah, we've already started. It should be done anytime. You know, we want Alex there. He wants to be there, and it's just a kind of disappointing formality.
Is it a multi-year deal? Last year? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Rick Hendrick, it is a multi-year deal. It's a formality at this point. You best believe Alex is going to get asked about that when he comes on, but he deserves it. And he deserves, now that his confidence is there from winning, he's won 4 races in his career, believe there are more to come. He's in the best equipment in the garage area in Hendrick Motorsports. He deserves the opportunity. He deserves an opportunity for a team and Rick Hendrick to say, hey, you're here not just for this year, not just for next year, but for beyond. He's earned it, and I hope that he gets it. I mentioned this train that is Hendrick Motorsports and where they are right now. You know, Chase Elliott had a well, let's give you the rundown real quick. Alex Bowman gets the win. Kyle Larson second. Chase Elliott third. William Byron fourth. Joey Logano comes home fifth. Kevin Harvick sixth. Denny Hamlin seventh. Tyler Reddick eighth. Daniel Suarez, great run for Team Trackhouse, getting the top 10. He's ninth. Cole Custer 10th. And Bubba Wallace ran in the top 10 towards the latter part of the race, slipped out, finished 11th, but by far the best run for 2311 Racing. And it got, I was watching the battle because, you know, Denny Hamlin finished 7th. It was Bubba was in that spot, 8th maybe at the time, and made it hard on the boss to get around him, which, you know, that Denny Hamlin has to love that, that Bubba's going to race him hard, but good run for them. So Chase Elliott with a third place finish, did not lead any laps, but he was had to start in the back because of an inspection issue, worked his way up pretty quickly and ran, you know, top 10, top five for a majority of the day. Looked real strong. They haven't found victory lane yet, but Elliott was asked about his thoughts on his year so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a good place as far as where we ended the day today. I thought we were close. I just needed, need to do just a tick better. You know, I need to have a little better restarts and, you know, have just a tick more pace. But I really thought we were pretty close. So happy with our run.
And he should be. Again, it's all about confidence in a race team. And they're knocking on the door. They're going to win. I feel like I've been saying that forever, but they're going to. And guess what? There's a very, 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 very good chance it's tomorrow. Because guess what? It's a road course. And yes, COTA is a track that they've never been to. He's never raced on. But he has shown he's so freaking good on the road courses. And I believe that there's a good chance that first W of the year comes tomorrow. Mention Larson. Larson dominates again. He doesn't win. When you look at how he's done in these, 263 laps led yet or at Dover and doesn't get the win. It's, you know, it's all about pit stops. It's all about, you know, the thing that was tough is whoever had the lead, if you got a good restart, I mean, you could check out. I saw it in the Xfinity race, saw it in the Cup race. And that's what happened to Bowman there at the end. But Larson was doing it for most of the race. And I think there is a little frustration with him, you know, and there should be, just more so, not that they can't do it because they've already won this year, but like, dang, what do I got to do to close one of these things out? But Larson talked about what he could have done differently, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know if there was anything I could have done differently to win the race after we came out second on pit road. You know, I would choose the top behind him and get to second every time. You know, maybe I could have chose the bottom one restart, but I still don't think I would have stayed with him to his inside or anything like that. Probably would have fell back to third or so. So I feel like we maximized our day. We were all just so equal. I think any of the four of us could have been out in the lead and that person probably would have won. So you know, we were all equal and their picker did an awesome job, but our picker has been amazing all year too. So like I said, I'm not disappointed or upset about this second because I feel like there wasn't anything else I could do.
Kyle Larson on running second after leading 263 laps. At the end of the day, there probably wasn't anything else he could do. And I know that that's, he said, it is frustrating because you're human and you want to win. But at the same time, you also have to feel good about the success that you've had in a short amount of time. I mean, we forget that he's only been with Hendrick Motorsports for 13 races. He didn't race hardly at all last year. He did the first four races. The pandemic happened. He got suspended in the middle of it and didn't race the rest of the year. And so in 13 races, he has the one win, six top fives, eight top tens. led 774 laps. It's pretty damn good for a short amount of time. And last year, only led the two laps, one top five, but three top tens in those four races that he ran. So I think Kyle Larson, again, is going to find victory lane again. Hendrick has shown that they are back. And we'll talk a little more about that when we return here on Chasing Checkers, just how dominant Hendrick Motorsports is and how dominant they can continue to be. It's Chasing Checkers on ESPN 1025 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You can also watch the show on YouTube, on Twitch, on Twitter, by going to thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com as well. So Hendrick Motorsports, their dominance continues in NASCAR. And Rick Hendrick, since he started his team back in the 80s, he has shown that he is willing to put literally everything into this race team to have the success that he has had in his career. And the drivers, they love running for him. I mean, and think about the names that he has had drive for his team. I mean, we know Jeff Gordon, we know Jimmy Johnson, but Terry Labonte, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kyle Larson. Now, I mean, there have been Darrell Waltrip, Jeff Bodine. There have been a ton to come through there. Ricky Rudd. I mean, Tim Richmond. Rick Hendrick himself drove for him. Benny Parsons drove for him. Ken Schrader. I mean, a who's who of names. He had the Days of Thunder cars. Rick Hendrick has had a ton of success in NASCAR. 267 Cup Series wins and chasing down Petty Motorsports or Petty Enterprises to get that win. Rick Hendrick, and this is a long answer, but he was asked about, you know, this success and what it all means. He gave a good description of that and what it means to him after the race.
You know, we've had superstars that win. We've won 17 races before in a year, and one car was just dominant, maybe too dominant, and the others were just kind of, you know, just so-so. But the way we've kind of started back 4 or 5 years ago, just putting all the engineers in one place, putting all the crew chiefs in one place, taking our best folks like Ron Malik, and they're in charge of this part of the vehicle, and Chad's there in the shop, and you got Jeff Andrews. And, you know, when I look at the way they're working together and respect that the drivers have for each other, you know, they want to beat each other. I mean, that's what we pay them to do. But I don't think we've ever, well, I know we don't. We've never had the focus on four. Maybe we wanted to, maybe we tried to, but when they all are in there together and, you know, you could give one of the other guys his car and it wouldn't know the difference. So, you know, swap cars, but, you know, it's just, it's rewarding to see and to see, Marshall and, you know, Jeff Andrews, Chad, the crew chiefs, all of the folks working, and Chevrolet. GM has been a big supporter, and Richard Childress and I now have aligned to do things together, and boy, that's going to make a big difference, has made a difference. So he's a good friend. I respect him a ton. So there's a lot of things that have come together, and, you know, but I think I loving these, having these young guys that are all so young, having Kyle in the mix. Well, he just drives the wheels off of it. And I think they all make each other better. And so to see William blossom like he has, and Alex, a guy that didn't have a chance, now have two wins this year and finished sixth in the points last year, I think the future is really bright for us. And you just have, you know, there's nothing that beats teamwork, and you're stronger together. That's been my philosophy on the automobile side and in the racing side. And I was told early on that I never win a championship having multiple cars. So it's worked. But it's all about people. I don't care what kind of business you're in. If you're in, it doesn't make any difference. It's people that make the difference.
And he's got great people that work for him at Hendrick Motorsports. You know, you heard some of those names, Chad Knaus, who's a longtime crew chief for Jimmy Johnson. Now he's kind of helping lead the competition side for the team as a whole. Ray Evernham way back in the day with Jeff Gordon. I mean, so it's certainly more than the drivers, more than the owner. But the thing that stands out is now, you know, you have that, you don't have like the 48 team over here and the 24 team over here and the 5 team over here and the 9 team over here. You know, they seem to be working more as a collective. He mentioned the partnership that he has with Richard Childress, you know, two longtime Chevrolet teams working together. And I think that's what you need to see, is these teams helping each other out and, you know, it becoming even more of a team sport than it already is. I mean, the drivers are going to duke it out on the track. They all want to win the race. They all want the checkered flag, and that's never going to change. But I think you'll have more success. You know, four heads are better than one, and that's what you're seeing with Hendrick Motorsports. He's going to go down as the greatest car owner of all time. Junior Johnson deserves a ton of praise. Richard Petty deserves a ton of praise. Petty Enterprises, the Wood Brothers as well, Richard Childress. I mean, there are a ton of Joe Gibbs, ton of successful car owners, but Mr. H is going to go down as the greatest. Whether you love Hendrick Motorsports, you know, growing up as an Earnhardt fan, I hated Hendrick Motorsports. Couldn't stand Jeff Gordon. Booed him every week. But I always respected just how good they really were and continue to be. And like I said, drivers love to race for him. One thing that's also kind of fun to watch is, as I mentioned, Kyle Larson's only had 13 races there, and he's had a ton of success. That's one thing he was asked about in post-race of, even though he hasn't been there all that long, you know, what he's kind of noticed about their success.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, they've obviously had an amazing race team for a very, very long time. And I have found it interesting, you know, multiple times throughout this year, Marshall Carlson at HMS, you know, he'll, you know, talk about how everybody in the shop is so excited to be working there and working on our race cars. And they've never seen the organization happier and more excited to go racing than now. And I find that crazy to think, you know, because I mean, you look at all the races that Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and you know, they've had multiple like powerhouse drivers at one time on their team. And for them to be saying this is the most excited they've ever been is pretty unreal to me when we've got, you know, four just young guys in the sport and who haven't really won many races when you really think about it compared to the guys that used to be there before us. So, but I think, you know, maybe seeing a little bit of the future is what, you know, gets everybody really excited there. But yeah, just an awesome day for the organization and glad I could be a part of it.
Kyle Larson on the success at Hendrick Motorsports, and they're going to continue to have it because, as Rick pointed out, they got four young drivers. I mean, you know, there has been, you've seen, you know, times where, you know, Jeff Gordon was kind of the elder statesman. Then Jimmy Johnson came on. Jimmy Johnson, you know, became the elder statesman, but they had older. They had Jimmy, they had Casey Kane, they had Dale Jr. They're all at the same time. Now they have four young drivers that they can build around. And that's why I think it's so important for them to, you know, try to keep Alex Bowman locked up and there as long as they possibly can. Speaking of a young driver and wanting to give somebody a chance, Josh Berry, who's from Hendersonville, Tennessee, has been running this year for Junior Motorsports in the number 8 car. The plan, and it's been a part-time schedule, he's not racing this weekend at COTA. He's run 9 of the 11 races in that 8 car. The Nashville Super Speedway is scheduled to be his final race. But you look at what they've accomplished in those 9 races. 5 top 10s, a win at Martinsville, 3 top 5s. He's led 151 laps. Was in a position to win last weekend at Dover, finished second, looked really good. And his Hendrick Motor, or he and Justin Allgaier were trading the lead back and forth, and Allgaier was dominating. Then Cindric comes in at the end and wins it for Penske. But Josh Berry deserves a full-time opportunity. And I know that Dale Jr. wants to give it to him. I'm not saying that like, oh, you know, why isn't Junior Motorsports? It's all about sponsorship. And I know that Dale Jr. wants it to happen. And that's, you know, to have that kind of support, it's really, really cool. If you're Josh, tags Kelly Earnhardt, says at Earnhardt, Kelly and I are working on it. There are so many people that are supporting Josh and want to see Josh succeed, want to see him get a chance. And, you know, I think Josh is, you know, another Alex Bowman that from afar you may look and go, okay, they're not very good. You know, what have they done? And it takes guys like Dale Jr. to go, no, they are. They're talented. Put them in the right stuff and watch what they can do. You know, Denny Hamlin with Bubba Wallace. Put them in the right stuff. Watch what they can do. And I think Josh is certainly in that category. Now, I don't know what it's going to mean for this year because, you know, if he gets out of the car in Nashville and they don't have anything for him at Junior Motorsports, they could, from what I understand from the rules, they could basically revive a fifth car, the 88 or whatever, and put him in that because Sam Meyer's going to be taking over the 8 car. They could do that, but if another team's going to pick him up. I mean, Spire Motorsports tabbed him to run the cup race for them, making his cup debut at Dover. So I think he's going to get a chance. But I know Dale Jr. would like to be the one to give him that chance. And I think that it's going to happen. Barry, after the race, did talk about his opportunities at JRM.
Yeah, I think so. Martinsville, like I said, was a huge deal for us. Huge deal for this A team, getting them in the victory lane for the first time, and obviously myself. So I think it was a huge confidence booster for all of us. Huge weight off our shoulders. I think, you know, I made it pretty clear how badly I wanted to win, and these guys did too. And, you know, really, you know, going into this opportunity, I felt like if I won, that was like the pin, you know, that was the best possible scenario, winning a race. And really, we've had the chance to win several. And, you know, these races are hard to win. This series is tough. I mean, there's a lot of experience here. So just really thankful to be doing it. I think we're attracting a lot of attention, and that's amazing. And like I said, I just can't thank everybody at JRM enough. Tire Pros, our sponsor. I know how badly they wanted to get into victory lane today. I hate we didn't do it, but hopefully we got that day coming. And like I said, looking forward to tomorrow. You know, it's pretty exciting that Spire Motorsports chose me to run that car underneath, you know, in the current circumstances. So we're just going to try to get some rest tonight and do a good job for that group tomorrow.
Josh Berry on the opportunity there at Junior Motorsports. And yeah, you're right. See, it's more than just, oh, you got to win. It's being in contention to win. And they've been in contention to win just like they were at Dover. And so I think that certainly is going to help him in his future. And if he can stay in that race car, I have no doubt that Dale Jr. is going to work to figure something out. And you'll see him more than, you know, just Nashville Super Speedway being his last one. I mean, he'll go run late models and all that stuff and be successful. He's won a ton of races in late models. I mean, in the Cars Tour, he's got 20 wins in his career. So he'll have racing to do, but you'd love to see him in the Xfinity Series and more moving forward. When we come back, Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, is going to join the show. We'll do that when we come back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. You can also check out everything on demand at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com for more information. The Ally 400 is coming up June 20th at the Nashville Super Speedway, and the driver of the Ally Chevy actually joined Darren McFarlane and I yesterday on Darren, Donick, and Chase, and we had a great chat with him and wanted you to hear it today on Chasing Checkers. Big winner last weekend at Dover, and Alex, I'm going to start with this. We didn't talk, but I was standing in victory lane with you while you were celebrating with your crew. Did Mr. Hendrick like being sprayed with beer? How did that work out for you?
He said I owe him a shirt. So, I guess no. Doesn't sound like it, but it was definitely worth it for sure. It was great to be able to celebrate with those guys, get those guys in victory lane. Weren't able to do that, you know, a couple weeks ago in Richmond, just with kind of the protocols that we were still under. So was really cool to be able to do that, enjoy that, and share it with the boss. I'd never won a race with him there before. So,
oh, really?
Really, really special for sure.
Absolutely. And also Hendrick Motorsports going 1, 2, 3, 4 with all of you guys.
Which has never happened before.
Yeah, for them, yeah. And so that was awesome to see. Kyle Larson, you know, dominates a lot of the race. You take the lead. Let's talk about your pit crew, because that was a fantastic last pit stop. You had great pit stops all day, but that really changed the race for you, getting you off first there, and you never gave it back.
Yeah, for sure. I think we had a great car, and obviously we showed that there at the end, but dirty air was so tough there. When we were running second behind Kyle, there really wasn't an opportunity to close the gap up and to try to make that pass. So my pit crew has been on it all year. They were able to get me past them on pit road, and from there we just took off. So I feel like really between us, the 5 and the 9, and really the 24, whichever one of us got up out front there on that last stop, we were going to win the race. So glad that we were the one with the fastest pit crew in that situation. And just really cool to see those guys crank out such a fast stop to be able to win the race like that.
And you have to feel good, like I mentioned, 1, 2, 3, 4. You have to feel good about just where Hendrick Motorsports is as an organization right now. I know I've heard you guys talk about it over the years of with the new Chevy and, you know, with the Camaro and how things are now starting to come together for you. But that has to just feel really good to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're all winning. I mean, Chase is the only one that hasn't found victory lane yet, and I'd say that that's coming.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to a road course this week, so very well could be the week for him. But yeah, it's so cool. You know, there's so many people that have hands on these race cars, and they're all working so hard from top to bottom. Everybody's doing a really good job, and it's really paying off right now. So cool to get to drive them. You know, obviously we've been really fast everywhere, and it's just neat. It's been a lot of fun. Everything's clicking right now, and the sport's also humbling, so it could go back the other way really quickly, but you know, we're taking advantage of it while we can. It's really cool.
Alex Bowman is on the line with us. All right, you mentioned that road course, and you know, for the longest time you'd go to two, and that was it, Watkins Glen and Sonoma. And now there are 7 on the schedule. Started with Daytona and that road course, but this one, COTA, as everybody calls it, Circuit of the Americas down in Texas. Hey, at least you get some practice in qualifying. That has to help.
Yeah, for sure. Going to a new place, glad to get some practice in, because it's definitely an interesting racetrack. You know, it's really technical, kind of awkward in some areas, and it's going to be tough to get a hold of in a cup car. So excited for the challenge. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Cool to get to go to a new racetrack. We don't do that super often, and this year we've got more new stuff than we've had in quite a while. So excited to get there, flying out here in a couple hours, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Do you feel like, because of what you just said, going to new racetracks, getting a bunch of new stuff, we know about the new car that the manufacturers unveiled, that Chevy looks really nice for next year, but that the sport is maybe the healthiest that it's been in a long time?
I think so. You know, I think everything's really looking good for the sport, and you know, there's a lot of positives going on. I feel like there's a lot of good things happening. We got a new car coming next year that can be really great. So you know, I'm excited for where the sport's headed, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
What's your favorite part of road racing?
That's a good question, because I'm not very good at really any of the parts of road racing. So the challenge, really, you know, it's a big challenge for me. It's not something that comes very naturally, and something that I've had to work really hard at over the years. So we're getting closer to being good at it. Just got to keep working, and have a lot of really great teammates to learn on or to lean on and learn from. And I feel like our race cars are always really good there. So just got to go do what we can, and I know we can be really good.
How much have you leaned on? You mentioned teammates, but you know Jeff Gordon was really good on the road courses. Jimmy had success on the road courses. That's what he's doing in IndyCar now. How much did those two guys at any point in your career help you?
Yeah, I definitely leaned on both of them quite a bit, and I think they really steered Hendrick Motorsports in a great direction with the race cars, and that's really why our road course cars are so strong and have been for so long. So, you know, I think it's always good to have their influence. Obviously, Jeff is still a huge part of the team. You know, Jimmy's doing the IndyCar thing, which is really, really cool to see. So without those two guys, I mean, I think they definitely, you know, kind of led the path to where we're at now. And I'm just on the side of trying to catch up to how good a lot of these guys are on the road courses.
Alex, we're sitting here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are playing a playoff game tonight, and they're going to let about 12,000 people in. We've seen that, you know, having fans back in the stands has really made a difference for that sport. Like I said, I was at Dover last weekend. They had fans. You've been going around to the different racetracks that have been letting fans in, and they announced today that Nashville in June will be at 100% capacity, and the Ally 400 is sold out. What does it mean to you guys to be able to, and I know you're focused on driving, but when you get in the race car, get out of the race car, and look up and see fans in the stands?
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, seeing all the fans there at Dover last weekend was really cool on the front straightaway after we won. And just, you know, thankful that we're able to do it and hopefully keep everybody safe. And, you know, it's great to have them back. You know, it was definitely like kind of a awkward, quiet environment when the fans weren't around. And you know, that first race at Darlington last year was super weird not having them there. So excited to have everybody back. Obviously getting to Nashville is going to be really, really cool, awesome place, love being there. So it's great having fans back and kind of inching closer to things getting back to normal.
Yeah, in Nashville, it is the Ally 400, so does that put a little extra pressure on you being the Ally car that you got to come in here and perform?
Absolutely. You know, you always want to win, and a race that's sponsored by Ally is really important to us. Obviously, Ally has been a great partner for us. It's been a lot of fun driving the Ally 48 this year. So if we can get the Ally 48 in victory lane at the Ally 400, we're going to be saying Ally a lot, but that'd be pretty sweet for sure.
After your win at Dover, Rick Hendrick did his media availability. He was asked about your contract and extending you. He said it's more of a formality at this point. What does it mean to you to hear that, and how close are you to being able to announce something?
Yeah, it's really cool just to have Mr. Hendrick and everybody at Ally and Hendrick Motorsports wanting me to drive their race car. And it's a place I want to be for a long time, so we got to put all the parts and pieces together on it. But I think all parties involved kind of want the same thing. So we just got to get it done and go from there. But hopefully we can make that happen.
Well, absolutely. And looking forward to hearing that. Looking forward to seeing you in Nashville here in about a month or so, not too long from now. Alex, thanks for the time. As always, good to talk to you, and best of luck this weekend at COTA.
Yeah, thanks. You guys have a good one.
Always enjoy talking to Alex. He has a bright future. I can't wait for that announcement of his contract extension. You heard Mr. H earlier say that it was a formality and would be a multi-year deal. So very, very well deserved by him. We'll have much more coming when we come back, including getting you set up for COTA and Sunday Money. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and The Game Nashville. Stuff, Kenny. Welcome back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here. Kenny Adams on the ones and twos and bringing it today. Appreciate Alex Bowman for joining us yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, and I wanted you to hear that. Justin on our Facebook page sent a couple of questions. What do you think about the Brad K rumors or Brad Kay going to Roush rumors. If he goes to Roush, I think Matt DiBenedetto could be in the number two. So let's talk about that real quick. The rumor coming out this week, the report, and industry sources are confirming it, that Brad Keselowski, who is on a one-year deal with Penske, would leave that organization and join Roush Fenway Racing as a driver and get part ownership as well. The team would become Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. The rumor is he would take the six car from Ryan Newman. No word on if Newman would stay in a third car. His contract is up too, or if he would leave the organization, what that would mean. As for what happens at Penske, I believe Austin Cindric would take the two. That's what I believe probably happens. But I think it would be good for Matt DiBenedetto because it would probably mean he stays in the 21. I think he's done okay there. They've had a rough year this year, but they've had some good runs at times and have been in position to win races. So I think that that's probably what happens. I mean, Austin Cindric is going to Cup no matter what. He's scheduled to take over the 21. But I think if Brad leaves, he just moves into the two. And that's what they end up doing with him. So this deal would be interesting. I equate it to what Tony Stewart did when he left JGR and joined up with Gene Haas to form Stewart Haas Racing. You know, it would help a lot because Roush is not what they used to be. Since Carl Edwards left, which was in 2014, they've won two Cup races, and they have not had a driver finish better than 13th in the standings. Now, I know Chris Buescher has been better this year. He's had some top 10s, but they certainly need a kick, and I think that Brad Keselowski could provide that if he were to make that move. Racing at COTA this weekend, they are practicing right now in the rain. Kyle Larson is leading the way in practice. Nope, just kidding. William Byron just took the lead in practice. Kyle Larson second, Kyle Busch third, Joey Logano fourth, Chase Elliott rounding out the top five. We are running out of time, so Kenny, let's get to Sunday Money. All these odds are from BetMGM, my favorite sportsbook. The favorite is, of course, Chase Elliott at plus 225. He's so good on the road courses. You'd be silly not to put a little bit on that plus 225 for Chase Elliott to win the race. I mentioned he's top five in practice right now. It's raining. You know, conditions are supposed to be pretty good for the race, so I don't know how much you can really take away with it raining. But so I have him as number one on the list. These are the other ones I'm going to give you, and it's hard to pick because this is such an unknown. Denny Hamlin at plus 800. He's a pretty decent road racer. Kyle Busch plus 1,400. A lot of value in those two picks, but both are capable on a road course. So I like Denny at plus 800, Kyle Busch plus 1,400. I'll give you a long shot, and there's going to be a few long shots. I think if you look through the list of where your favorite driver may be and what their odds are, I mean, Keselowski's getting 2,000. Harvick's getting 1,800. Bowman's getting 2,000. Logano is getting 1,800. DiBenedetto is getting plus 6,600. Cindric is in this race plus 2,200. Michael McDowell plus 6,600. Not only is he a super speedway racer, but he's been a road racer as well. So there you go. There is Sunday Money. And going to be fun, going to be unpredictable, but that's what we love about this season. That is going to do it for our show today. My thanks to Alex Bowman for joining. Kenny Adams for doing a great job producing back at the Wholesale Link Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. We're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock, and you can check everything out at thegamenashville.com and ChasingCheckersRadio.com as well. We'll talk to you next week here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.